Spalding Gray is famous for his autobiographical monologues, in which he reports on the latest events in his personal life and his acting career, his current neurotic obsessions, and his continued search for the perfect moment. He gives the first New York performance of his new monologue this Sunday at Lincoln Center. We're going to hear an excerpt of the monologue, recorded at its world premiere at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. It was recorded by the nationally distributed public radio program This American Life, produced at WBEZ in Chicago. That program will run a longer excerpt on their next edition. The monologue is called It's a Slippery Slope. You see, Spalding took a skiing vacation in Aspen, hoping to learn how to ski. Well, he learned a little, and he learned to turn left, but couldn't figure out how to turn right. So what, you might think. But learning to turn right became this crazy obsession. We'll pick up the story with Spalding's return to Aspen.
Barney and I start up with all of the locals, and we begin to ski, and I find I'm only going left. I'm going left into the bushes, coming out the other side with branches in my mouth. You know, like a Botticelli. And I say, I won't bother you. I know I got to do this on my own. You go ski, I'm going over to Meadow. I go over to Meadow, the green slope. And I am inspired that day. When I see what I see, it's the adaptive ski school. And they are taking quadriplegics out of wheelchairs and putting them in gondolas with these little ski runners. And they have poles with skis on them. And I think, Spalding, if you can't turn right on this slope today, give it up. Now, I have no instructor. I'm trying to do this on my own. And I begin, and I'm left and crashing, and yard sale. All the stuff is all over, picking up my stuff. But you know what I'm impressed by is how wildly I can crash and still get up without anything broken. And it's left and crash, and left and crash, and then it happens. It's the ineffable. I can't tell you how it happens. All the time I think I had to think myself around, it was just a shift of weight, and I never experienced this in my life except in 1946 on Thanksgiving Day when I first learned how to pump on a swing. I suddenly turned right, or something turned me right, and then left, right, left, boom, down. But I was up again, left, right, left. People would ski by me real fast, I'd crash. People would ski by me and fall, I'd crash. I was in such empathy. Or I'd be skiing and thinking, you're doing it, you're skiing. Crash. It was so beautiful. It was like Zen, but a little not as subtle, you know? If you weren't present, you crashed and a mountain hit you. I mean, and I realized at that point that all my life I'd been doing a kind of subtle suicide to myself. I'd always be somewhere else in my head. I was always thinking, oh, I could be there, or I could be there, I could be there. Or I wish I was there. But now when I'm skiing, I don't have that. As long as I'm skiing, and I'm so excited, I get down to lunch to join Barney, and we go over to the Blue Slope. And I'm going to ski with him, and now it's a two-die day. It is a perfect day that reminds me of the old days, the Thornton Burgess books my father used to read to me, the West Wind stories, when you'd see the cloud with a face and a wind puffing out of its lips. That's how the clouds looked. Only there weren't wind, it was these long chains of snow flurries. And then the clouds would pass and the bright California sun would light the packed snow, and there were furrows where other people had skied, and we were hopping through the furrows in other people's rhythm, and we were riding up, we were dancing in the day. I was with a man, and we weren't talking, we were skiing together, and I couldn't stop. At the end of the day, they had to restrain me. I tried to bribe the lift operator for another run. Barney said, easy, easy, easy. You've been skiing for 7 hours. I never done anything for 7 hours in my life. And never thought of death once. We went back to the condo. Barney was driving. I was flatlining. Oh, not an anxious thought in my head. Oh, boy. Unwind in front of the gas log. Have a couple of beers and watch the Weather Channel. Whatever. Deep, deep, dreamless, oblivion sleep. The following day, I woke up and I thought, oh my God, now this skiing and this life, and I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to come down from this mountain. I want to figure out how to stay up here, how to make a living up here, how to just ski. I had a mission. I never felt a mission in my life, a quest. I wanted to ski across America to New England. I saw myself like John Cheever's story, The Swimmer. Burt Lancaster did the film. Swimming his way back to that deserted house through backyard swimming pools. Only I was going to do it on ski slopes and use my monologue as a vehicle and begin booking them by ski areas. And I did. I booked Grey's Anatomy, first of all, where I had to conquer the big master, that one that I went up on to, with Renee, Ajax in Aspen. And I booked it at the Wheeler Opera House, and they gave me a condo, a free ski lesson, and a passes to ski, and some money. It was a very good deal. And now, it was. Now, basically in Aspen, there are two mountains. You got Ajax, the big, giant father figure, and then you got Buttermilk, which is like the reclining lady. You can ski over her breasts and through her thighs, no problem. At the end of the day, go over and get beat up by the father. You see, the ticket is interchangeable. The following day, I was determined to set skis on Ajax, even though my guidebook said under no circumstances should it begin and go on this mountain. And on the way to Ajax, I was recollecting my Greek history, Ajax, hero of the Trojan Wars, who mistook a flock of sheep for warriors, killed them, hallucinated, killed them, and then killed himself out of humiliation. That's Ajax. So I arrive, and I get the map, and I'm choosing what trail I should go on based on the name. And I choose Dipsy Doodle and Pussyfoot. So I'm standing on Dipsy Doodle talking to myself. Skis parallel and slightly apart. Slightly. Crouch and lift at the same time. Ninety % of your weight on your downhill ski. 90%. Think of yourself as a banana. Don't stick your butt out. What butt? Wait over the balls of your feet. I never knew my feet had balls. I have heard the expression, but I have never contacted them. You know, basically, I felt like a bad geometry class. I felt all fragmented. I couldn't really get it all together. And boogie on these other skiers are going by me full speed, doing that little Austrian Vadel. You know, that tight ass little bunny hop. The skis close together. Boom, 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 boom. They go by with their nose up in the air. They go on your left. I mean, you're not allowed to fall on Ajax. If you fall, they go by and go on your left. Buttermilk. They say, "You're right, guy. Can I help you up?" But I'm skiing. I'm skiing and I'm going down. I haven't got any inner cheerleader voice. No voice in me saying you're doing great. But you know what I don't have anymore? I don't have the self-deprecating, "You're shit, you're no good, you'll never master this voice," because the mountain's knocking the shit out of me. It's hitting me. It took that voice away. It's such a whoa that beats you up. It's a plummeting. It's like the father I never wrestled with. I'm down, boom, and I'm up again. And I'm surviving it, and I'm skiing, and I experience a Zen miracle. I'm hungry without looking at my watch. And I ski on down. I don't ski the whole mountain. It's just halfway down to the little gourmet restaurant, Bonnie's. Hey, I feel like a skier now. I can eat with them on the deck. Take my skis off, bomb them in the snow, clomp on down like a man on the moon, big ski boots crunching on the deck. Order a well-done hamburger to avoid E. coli. And sit out in the sun. Oh, my God, I got to pinch myself. The fat lady hasn't sung yet. Is this really happening to me? Is this Buddy Gray, great failure of Barrington, Rhode Island, skiing in Aspen, alone, able to be alone? And it occurred to me that this was a moment I was having for myself. I was doing this, I didn't even know what that meant. I never had the experience of my life. And I'm saying, this is really cool, I like this. And also, I see three people coming toward me, it's all over. These people have probably seen my show, I can tell by the way the woman's smiling. And they come over there. I like them. They're locals. The first woman's name, she's Maggie. She's a male woman, a letter carrier. She's on a long lunch break. And her boyfriend, Jake, who's a contractor, and then Martha, a friend of theirs, who's a ski instructor for the blind, actually, over at Buttermilk. And they're all taking time off, the day off, to ski. And they want to ski with me. And I say, oh, no, I'm not really a skier. I'm just a faller, really. I'm up here falling down. Don't. I'm having a good time alone. It's fine. No, they're not interested. They've skied the mountain hundreds of times. And Jake's trying to give me this line that pack skiing is how I really learn skiing in a group. He's got this theory, the Balinese dance masters, he's telling me. That's how they teach their students kinetically, so they're dancing right. All right. I'll give it a try. So we go over, and damn it, all of those skis don't feel too big. They always do when I put them on at first. I feel like a two-year-old trying to walk again. They're crossing. I'm flopping around. I fall down. They're waiting. They're laughing. They're doing fine. But damn it, Jake is right. The actor mimicking me is able for some reason to connect with him and begin to ski like him, to emulate him. So my skis are more parallel. I'm getting up more speed. In fact, I'm almost like not crashing into him, but becoming one with him until I try to get back to myself and I crash because I don't know how to make the transition. But something's happening that is right. And Maggie's the provocateur. She keeps passing over a snuffed out marijuana joint she wants to relight every time we're on the lift, you know. And no, thanks, really. That stuff just makes me think. Well, actually, think is the wrong word. I'd be a scholar if that was the case. It just makes me grind my gears, junkhead, around and around, garbage, nothing productive, really. I mean, if I was dancing all night at a club or something, I'd take it. But Maggie says, really, Spalding, skiing is like dancing in the day. It's like dancing in the light. Don't say no, just say maybe. So next time round, Maggie and I are alone on a double lift, and she just lights it over. I don't think about it. I just go, pass it back. And I begin to think so hard that I don't get off the lift, and it goes around. They stop, but I'm hanging up there. He goes, hey, rock and roll. Hey, man, having a good day? They're helping me down. The skis are falling off. They are too big, I'm thinking. The marijuana is making them seem too big. But I have to say, in defense of the hemp, it really does loosen up my hips. Not that you're supposed to have loose hips when you're skiing, but boogie on down. I'm skiing with Jake now, and I like that. This new male thing, you know, because usually I always felt I had to talk to a guy. We're just skiing together, and I'm up at the top of the mountain waiting for Martha and Maggie to come up, and Jake says, I want to show you something. Oh, God, no, he's going to try to teach me something. Suddenly I feel like a frozen banana. No, he says, don't freeze up. You're doing fine in your turns, but you know what? After you turn, you're sliding down the mountain, and you're sliding down the mountain because you're not edging. Just watch me for a minute. I look over, oh, wow, I'm able to see it. I'm able to take it in. He rolls his skis in just slightly into the mountain and edges, and oh, yes, I'm behind him, and what a difference an edge makes. We are skiing now down Ruthie's Run, a terrain that was so steep I was simply crashing down it before, and now I am realizing that you have to be out of control to be in control. For a second, you have to be falling down that fall line and then catch yourself, and you have to have the leap of faith, and I never had faith in my life until that day. You've got to believe you're going to turn right in order to turn right, and it's leap of faith and around. Wow, I doubted everything until this moment, and leap of faith and I'm around, and I'm falling into the light, and I can feel the gravity pulling me, the earth, the mother, and leap of faith, I'm around, and leap of faith, I'm around, and leap of faith, I'm around, and Maggie shoots behind me with stereo earphones on, yelling, think of it as a white wall of death. And I'm able to keep my balance in the face of this, and I know where she gets her kicks, and I know she's hoping I'll do a monologue about this, and she will be in it. We have a wonderful afternoon. It's timeless. It's so energized. It's so, oh, it's so. And they say, they bid farewell, they say, it's almost 4 o'clock, we got to run the mountain, you download. I said, no, I want to ski down with you guys. Spalding, you know what, it's really not safe. There's only one way down the mountain, at the end of the trail, it's Spa Gulch. And the locals refer to that often as the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It's icy, it's dark, the shadow comes in. Maggie blew her ACL tendons out last year. You could hear them pop up the gulch like hot spaghetti. Don't want to do it. I do. It's your choice. So I opt. What my plan is, I'm going to follow Martha, the blind ski instructor. I hadn't skied with her yet, ski instructor for the blind. She was like a sleek weasel, really, really smooth, fast, confident, and I'm right behind her. And what's exciting now is that we're running the whole mountain, so the rhythm starts to build. And
before we were just skiing around at the top. And we're starting down, and there's all this new terrain. And then as we get closer to Spar Gulch, I can see what they mean. The conversion is like an L.A. freeway. All the trails are going into that one place. And behind me, I can hear the snowboarders shredding, shah, shah, shah. And all of a sudden, Martha goes straight up the edge of the gulch and hops around and comes down, and I'm behind her. I don't know who's doing this. Are the skis skiing me? I go up, and all of a sudden, I see a cobalt blue sky, a new moon, and whoop, I'm around. I see amber, bright sun on snow, and dark shadow, and down, and up, and around, and down, and up, and around, and up, and down, and up, chung, 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 bow, born out of the thighs of Ajax. And Jake comes over and gives me a big high five, my first. And I say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for skiing with me today. And I bid them farewell and go in to turn my equipment into the rental place. And the guy says, hey, man, you should either be dead or in the hospital. I said, what are you talking about? You hear I skied the gulch? No, you stole some lawyer's 195s at lunch. He was. He had a $125 lesson he had to take. He had to take it on your stubby little 160s. He's looking for you, man. I mean, you skied on the wrong bindings all afternoon. It's a wonder you didn't break your leg. You're f***ing blessed, man. And with his blessings, I felt initiated. I had skied Ajax, skied Spar Gulch, and graduated in one day from 160 to 195.
Spalding Gray, recorded at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. It's a Slippery Slope begins its New York run this Sunday at the Vivian Beaumont Theater at Lincoln Center. Our thanks to Ira Glass and the staff of This American Life. You can hear a longer version of the monologue on the next edition of This American Life, which is broadcast on many public radio stations. This is Fresh Air.